are from different places. We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
Well, welcome, everybody. We're so excited.
Welcome.
Today is a beautiful day.
It's beautiful. It's windy.
Slightly windy.
We have a special guest here, and she's sharing her cat. We won't reveal our special guests until the Methodist moment, but just so you know, she has cats.
And now she's you have to know that she's obviously a she. So as you're vacuuming your home, you can try to make a guess at who this is.
Guess about the guest.
Oh, yes. But how have you guys been? Tim, Beth, what have you been up to this past week?
So I wanted to share that I had an amazing time at Messy Church. Like, it was so much fun. And I had such a great time that I want to make sure that I don't miss any subsequent Messy Church episodes, so to speak, because it's so cool. I feel like I can really be that the child at heart instead of just like feeling the child at heart. It's like, well, there are children there some of the time, and then like I can't help it. And then I was amazed that with the painting of the rocks that we did, I basically was one of the least creative ones when it came to painting the rocks. It was really, really fascinating. So I felt very inspired. The food was great. Beth and her family did an excellent job with the food. It was spaghetti and meatballs.
What?
It was a blast, and everybody seemed like they had a lovely time. It wasn't just me. And Pastor Jim had a really nice message at the very end regarding generosity. So highly recommend Messy Church to anybody that hasn't gone to it. It's so much fun. The second thing is I wanted to share that I'm back on beard adventures. So I'm done shaving my beard every single day, because it actually has turned out to be more work than just figuring out how to maintain my beard. So I realized I needed new equipment. So I just went ahead and bought like a Philips Norelco like trimming tool, and I just got it in the mail today. So I'm going to try it out and see if I can actually like have less problems than, before I didn't even really have an instrument. My mom was kind of helping me with my beard, and then shaving every single day is just like totally a hassle. So hopefully this will be the success of my beard adventures. I'll like have a winning opportunity of some sort. Either that, or I'll just go back to some sort of baseline. I'm not sure what that would be. I know it wouldn't be just growing out my beard like no tomorrow and not doing anything about it. You know how people will do that. Actually, when I was in college, there was a point in which I was not maintaining my beard, and I had some comment on social media. Somebody was like, "That's a majestic beard indeed." I didn't think that I actually had a majestic beard or anything like that. But when you work in business and stuff like that, you don't usually want to have a super long beard. So I'm not sure if I'm going to go back to those days.
We're rooting for you, Tim. We are on board with bearded Tim and all things to that journey. So
thanks. Yeah, hopefully I can pull off something nice. And the other thing I wanted to mention is so I realized today that basically there's a whole bunch of things that are all related to each other. So in past episodes, I talked about self-discipline, delayed gratification, work then play, and so on. But I realize all of those things are exactly the same. They're just different names for pretty much the same idea, which is to be able to overcome discomfort in the present moment so that it's more possible to do work and so forth. And And then overcoming procrastination is another one. So delayed gratification, overcoming procrastination, self-discipline, and work first, then play are all related to each other. So with that in mind, I'm going to like start basically thinking about it in those terms. Like, okay, I'm just going to not procrastinate because I'm just not going to feel good procrastinating. I may not feel good doing the thing that I want, that I need to do, but at least I got it all done. And then I could feel really satisfied that I got everything done that I needed to get done for the day. So then get everything done super fast, like as fast as I can, then I could just relax the rest of the day. And the reason I came to this sort of insight today is because I was so unproductive today. Like I had the day off. It was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And that's awesome that it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day because of what he did for us, for our country. But I just was so unproductive and I was trying to figure it out. And I'll probably be able to expand upon this a little bit during our sermon feedback, because this always happens where we have this like amazing opportunity in the sermon for me to have like personal insight, just like connects so well to the sermon. It's kind of like God working in mysterious ways or something. So yeah, so that's my update.
Very exciting.
Oh, thank you.
All wonderful things, Tim. What a week.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. I also had MLK Day off and I was like, I'm not going to do anything. And guess what happened? I did everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was
awesome.
You know, yesterday we were super busy. We cleaned out both of our chicken coops and trimmed the goat hooves. And that's kind of an adventure in itself.
Yeah.
But cheers to the shop vac, who was the most important person in that coop cleaning, because we just suck it all out. We're like, we're not shoveling. We're just going to suck it, you know?
Oh, wow. Nice.
Just everything just gets out so fast on that.
It's like, forget about the power washing simulator. You got the power vacuum simulator.
Totally.
Except you're not simulating. It's like actually happening.
Real thing.
Yep. And then we just put it into our little compost thing with just a bunch of, you know, wood and poop. It's the greatest for anybody.
Yeah, that's a good compost. Sounds lovely for all the organisms that need it.
Totally.
We love your chickens. We love your eggs.
your eggs are so good, Jessica.
I love that you love them. Yeah. We try to spoil our chickens and, you know, give them their normal nutrients, but they love blueberries and all like tomatoes. They love tomatoes. So we like to give them more nutrients and things that also help the eggs taste pretty cool. So
I love your eggs too, Jessica. I didn't get a chance to mention it because Beth had her egg sandwich, but I hadn't had the eggs when we talked about it then. So yeah, they taste so much better than store-bought eggs. And I love how the eggs are like golden yolks. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, after we cleaned those chicken coops yesterday, then I want to say that I helped trim the goat hooves, but really it was just me feeding the goats as Amber was trimming their hooves. So it's like, there's literally not much I can do to help with this situation right now. But so that was kind of like, all right, today we're not going to do anything. We're going to just be super chill. And that turned into me looking at Amber going, why don't you dream with me for a second? And then she's like, no, the answer is no. And we're in our primary bedroom. And I was like, what if we, you know, and I just started saying, basically rearranging everything. Cause we're going to have the bassinet is going to be next to me. And it has zippers on both sides. So that way this one side of it can come down. Mm-hmm. So like for the first few months, that's kind of going to be protocol, is sort of sleep, feed, sort of sleep, feed. It is basically on repeat. So we're trying to figure out the easiest way. And it was like, okay, if we move everything in this way, it's going to be so much easier. So a few hours later, we were like, yeah, okay, cool. We still haven't meal prepped for the week. And nor have we had lunch or dinner. So anyways, so today we did service for our home and services for our future child. That's what we did to commemorate MLK Day, I suppose. But
nice.
But it definitely also made me not pay attention to what time it was. So that kind of derailed other areas. But other than that, this past week has been pretty good, you guys. We're trying to, today was the last day of us really, like, I don't know if we have another day off before the baby comes. But we're basically like on a countdown at this point.
Oh, wow.
So
is there a holiday in February?
Valentine's Day.
I mean, Valentine's Day, but most people don't have that day off. Oh, I think maybe President's Day, but yeah, Amber only has that. I don't have that day off.
Oh, okay.
So for me, it's another day.
Gotcha. So, gotcha.
But yeah, that's it on my end.
That sounds good. That's awesome, Jessica, that you had the idea in mind that you're just going to be all like chill, you know, dreaming. But then all of a sudden you're just like super busy and productive. So that's kind of inspiring for me, actually. Have the intention to just do nothing, but then just feel inspired to do something. I like that. That's good.
Yeah. But what about you, Beth? Have you been kind of busy?
Yeah, kind of. I too attended Messy Church with Tim and other people, and I think it was good.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I was in the kitchen most of the time. I don't know why I do that to myself, but I just...
You were making amazing spaghetti.
But then I don't get to enjoy any of the fun times, but...
You kids know, love Tim.
Yeah, I know. They don't even need Thanks. Me. There's Tim out there.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I also learned how to make stickers with my Cricut. And so I've been making stickers like a lunatic. And I made some stickers, you know, for the podcast. I made a couple of Dawn's designs. I've got some Pray Without Seasoning stickers, and let's see. These ones are Faith It Until You Make It.
That's awesome.
And then I just have some regular ones too. I cannot stop making stickers. It's my favorite thing in the world.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and, I think it's amazing.
And I've been making, I made some coasters too. And I know that this is niche. I know it's niche, but I made myself some coasters. And they're Conan O'Brien themed coasters.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
Coaster is a different still from when he did his Hot Ones episode on YouTube. So I made those for me, and I love them so much. And I also I made some stickers that only make sense to me, but they're my favorite. They probably make sense to other people. I made this Bonanza one. Hashtag it's all for Bonanza gents, you know, the Cartwrights. And it says hashtag squad goals.
That's amazing.
We love Haas.
That makes me, and I made a Haas sticker that says Haas is my homie.
That's awesome.
This is my favorite one. This is one.
What does that say?
It's So on the right side, it's podcast host Dalton Wilcox. He hosts the Bananas for Bonanza podcast. And in every episode, he introduces the episode with, "Hello, friends, come on in. The gate is open wide." So made a sticker for that. And sometimes he forgets to say it, and then he remembers like 30 minutes into the episode, and he'll still say it. And it makes me laugh so hard when he forgets 30 minutes in and he still says it. Anyway, so I just spent so much time making stickers, and it's been a really great time. And I also have the power to make temporary tattoos. So I made a bunch of ridiculous.
I think that's amazing.
That I made Paul Blart stickers for Jonah. I made a Paul Blart sticker for Jonah. It's got Paul Blart on it, and it says "Safety never takes a holiday." And he was like, "What am I going to do with Paul Blart stickers?" And I was like, "Put them on stuff.
Put them on all the things."
And this is also one of my favorites. It's Kevin James, and he has his hands up like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But in between his hands, I put rap hands. Cause
that's so cool,
Beth. Wow.
Did I do my entire 5-minute update on stickers? Yes, I did. It was worth it. I was going to talk about that I read too, though. So I'm going to do that real quick.
I'll go for it.
My mom sent this book to me. It's called Dirty Laundry, and it's written by a husband and wife couple. And the husband does not have ADHD, but the wife does. And so it's I'll just read the whole title. It's Dirty Laundry: Why Adults with ADHD Are So Ashamed and What We Can Do to Help. And so I started reading this, and like, I started crying like just in the introduction, just because so much of it resonated with me. And, you know, and Pastor Jim mentioned in his sermon about Brené Brown and how she talks about, you know, shame a lot. And there's a lot of shame associated with ADHD.
If wow.
You don't know.
That sounds like a really good book, Beth.
Yeah. And it has like 10 symptoms of ADHD. The first symptom, losing important things. And she shared a story about how she lost something that was really important. And I won't go into the story, but this resonated with me. She says, "I share this story as a way to scream to you. I don't mean to lose things. I feel I need to scream this to prove to you how much it hurts to lose things and to make you understand that I really don't do it."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a really good book, Beth.
Yeah. Glad you shared that part too. That's so really relatable.
Yeah, it's been really good, but it has been, it's just because it's one of those books that makes me feel seen. And sometimes when you're seen, it makes you cry.
Right.
Yeah. It helps you to feel like you're not alone.
Right. In
moments. Totally.
But yeah, if you're crying, then you feel relief, like somebody sees you or validates your experience. So yeah, that's probably really cathartic.
Yeah. I'm reading it with my mom, so I'm trying not to get too far ahead too fast.
Right. But
it's not very long, though. It's only 140 pages. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Great.
Yep.
You know, that's awesome, Beth. Thanks for sharing all that stuff. Particularly, like, yeah, the book and then all those, like, stickers and, like, just all those crafts you're doing. I mean, my gosh, it's like you have all the power now, like limitless power.
And it's just me putting stupid stuff on stickers.
Well, don't forget the cups too, Beth. You can make any cup. You even made a Paul Blart cup.
I did. I was going to make a water bottle for Jonah, a Paul Blart water bottle, but he was like, no.
Speaking of water bottles.
Yeah, speaking of water bottles.
We have a lot of water bottles available at upcoming events that are going to be happening at the church. We have so many things coming up. One, next Tuesday, we have a book study called Boundaries. The individual guiding along boundaries is yours truly, Beth.
Boundary builder, Beth McCoy.
Yay.
Beth McCoy. And it's from 6:30 to 8:30. Please sign up in the lobby. Because if you don't sign up in the lobby, then that's how you are not seen. That's how you are not able to join. You can't just show up. You have to sign up in the lobby. Yeah. So,
I mean, maybe technically you could just show up, but that would not be called for.
Tim.
Ideally, no, not at all.
Beth McCoy will turn you away.
Oh.
My question is going to be, did you sign up in the lobby? And if you say no,
then she's going to make you leave and go sign up in the lobby.
Thank you for clarifying that. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, that's really important. I did want to mention, though, before next Tuesday, so next Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m., the youth group Ignite is going to be meeting in the social hall. So if you are a youth, or maybe you feel like a youth, you can go to the social hall from 4 to 6, and Pastor Jim will be leading us with a nice little message, and we'll have some games for the kids to play. It's a great way to get to know, anybody that's within your age range, but also a great time for fellowship. Also, on February, well, I'm going to mention this before this update, a reminder on February 2nd, information will be in the church lobby soon. Amber and I are doing a baby shower in the social hall / fellowship hall / friendship hall from 3 to 5. So everybody is invited. You don't got to be a lady. You can be a gentleman and you can participate in this. So we're going to put some information up on, I don't know if we'll do like 8x10s or something, just a few around the church. That way, if you want to be able to take a picture with your phone to remember, you're more than welcome to. So it's February 2nd. It's hard to miss. It is literally Groundhog's Day. So most exciting day in the world. Sunday, February 9th, it's Scout Sunday and the pancake breakfast. Now, some of you might remember last year, we also participated in the breakfast. We wore mustaches so we could be the men's breakfast because it is a United Methodist men's pancake breakfast. So Beth and I wanted to be able to participate, so we wore mustaches.
I love it.
And then we were told that everybody was able to participate and we didn't need mustaches.
Oh, I thought you were going to say everybody can wear mustaches. You got the approval that everybody can wear the mustaches.
We did bring additional, and by we, I mean Beth, mustaches for anybody to wear. And the best part was nobody had any idea what it meant because I think we had about 3 listeners at that time, and it was us as we were hearing ourselves speak.
We're up to 4 now, I think.
Yeah, I think we've got at least 7. Okay. But those are the church updates for now. Now I'm going to go ahead and hand this over to Beth for our Methodist moment.
Oh, can I do a shorter version of my jingle?
Yeah.
Methodist moment.
Wonderful.
Well, have we got a treat for you. Today's Methodist moment is going to feature one of my favorite Methodists, Cordelia Scheuermann. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did. Yay. Well done. It's not easy.
So we had Cordelia, well, we didn't arrange it. I'm saying it like I had you do a sermon. Yeah. I arranged for Cordelia to say her testimony. No. Cordelia speak last week as she shared her testimony. And we really enjoyed your testimony.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It was awesome.
Thank you.
So thank you for being here.
Yeah.
For inviting me.
Usually in this Methodist moment, we will invite the person to, well, actually, I can still ask you this. What brought you to this Methodist church?
Well, you know, Saturday, we actually went to the PUMC 101. Ooh. Because we're in the process of affiliating with this church.
Oh, wow.
My ancestors have always kind of picked whether they were going to go to a Presbyterian or a Methodist church based on what town they lived in, you know, in kind of frontier California a long time ago. But Art and I have been Presbyterian for a long, long time. And we visited all the Presbyterian churches in town and we visited Methodist churches. I've been a Methodist youth director a long time ago. And wow. We just felt like this was a diverse congregation, which we really liked. And also that it is a healthy congregation. It's got really healthy leadership. You know, when I was at the PUMC 101, I kept thinking, you know, people say they don't like organized religion, but it's way better than disorganized religion. I'm just saying, you know.
You're in charge of religion.
I really like that he told a lot of stories about the Wesleys, you know, John Wesley, Charles Samuel. And I liked how they were real people. Like it really fit in both with the theme from my sermon and also the one that we're going to talk about today. You know, that Jesus was a learner and that mistakes are not the same thing as sins. Yeah. So the story about how John, you know, came to America with these ideals of wanting to be a really good person. And then he falls in love and then he's like feeling guilty about falling in love and not sure he should get married. And then when the person who he had kind of been leading on that he might marry her, decided that if he wasn't going to actually commit that she was going to marry somebody else, he got like really petulant and tried to punish her, apparently refused her communion. And then she, you know, her dad was like a judge. And so then he decided he was going to arrest John Wesley. And I just thought, I just love the Methodist talk so honestly about, you know, that these were real people that were the founders and that sometimes they made mistakes when they got their feelings hurt or when they felt threatened. And I was like, awesome, you know, because so many times it's like we turn people into saints and we forget that they were real people. As a matter of fact, Art and I used to be part of a Sunday school class called Saints and Sinners, otherwise known as the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You know, so I just think that when we're open and transparent, that this fits so well with Brené Brown, too, that when you allow yourself to be vulnerable, that's when you make real friendships. And that's when you discover that just about everybody else is dealing with a lot of the same stuff. And that when we share it, then sometimes we can help each other have some really good ideas that are helpful.
Yeah.
And so I thought I'd share a little bit about some of the stuff that didn't make it into the sermon. And one is that I think that God's will is really, really wide. We tend to think of God's will as somehow that there is this checklist out there or this bullet point plan that God has and that we should somehow figure out what that is, or wait and wait and wait for God to reveal it to us, and that we're going to somehow be bad or in trouble if we don't do exactly this bullet point list. And the way that I think of God's will is more like a multi-lane highway, that God's like okay with any of these lanes. You know, you're basically going the same direction. I was thinking about how, you know, do you remember when we were kids? Did any of you ever get like a 64 color box of crayons?
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, wow, that's so much better than the crayon box or the even the 24 crayon box. And it seems to me that we think of God like giving us only, let's say, the black and the purple and the green crayon and saying, you can only draw a dog. That's the only thing that's my will for you. Yeah. And I'm like, no, God is going to give you that whole box of crayons and say, I would love to see what you're going to draw, because I love you and I love your creative mind and I want to see what's in your heart. And then God puts it up on God's refrigerator.
Wow.
That's... And Beth turns it into a sticker or a temporary tattoo.
You know, that's incredible insight, Cordelia. You said something about God's will that I think I've always sort of subconsciously thought, but could never put into words. So I am so glad you said that about God's will. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell that I've worked with kids for a long time?
Oh, yeah, the crayons.
But, you know, you saw that one of my favorite works of art is that beautiful pencil drawing by Jean Keaton of Jesus walking behind a toddler with arms out, you know, ready to guide that toddler so the toddler won't hurt themselves too badly, ready to scoop that toddler up if there's been a fall or, you know, to set that toddler back on the same path. But that's really how I've seen myself for a long time, that Jesus wants to help us walk in this life, and that Jesus is just delighted when we try. And that one of the reasons that God came to earth as a child is to experience what the human experience is. I'm not saying that's the whole reason. You know, I do believe that God is outside of time, and that God knew ahead of time that that radical message was going to end up with somebody violently trying to stop him from changing the world that way. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I just think that that when God came to earth as Jesus, that God experienced things that don't happen in heaven. Mm-hmm. In heaven, there's no sickness. In heaven, there's no ADHD. There's no anxiety. There's no death. I had a friend say to me, and Jessica, I hope you don't experience it, but it happens with a lot of children. Sometimes little children, they'll have something called night terrors, where they just wake up screaming, crying, and you don't know what's wrong. And there's no way to comfort that child because the child isn't even able to tell you why they're so terrified. And all you can do is just hold that child and let it strike out, let it punch you, let it scream, let it cry, let it hit, and let that child know that it is safe and that it is loved. And eventually the child will calm down. And I think that's a human experience of not understanding why a child is so upset or scared or violent. Mm-hmm. And I just think that God, when God came into first a baby that grew up into a child, that grew up into a teenager, that grew up into a young adult, and then an adult beginning a career and stepping out in big ways, that God learned from the inside out what it feels like to be teased, to be scared, to be challenged to learn something, to be lied about, to be hurt, to be adored, to be loved. It's just such a spectrum of experiences that makes me know that I can trust Jesus with whatever I am thinking about, whatever I am scared of, that Jesus understands it, and that God created us this way. God created us this way as beings that need to learn, and that beings that interact with one another. And so therefore the human experience is blessed. You know, one of my other patron saints is Dallas Willard. I don't know if you've ever read any of his books, but he has this beautiful theory. And that is that this life is an internship for the real life.
Oh, that's and really that interesting. That's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't it a great thought? And that everything we learn in this life will still have value in the next, that a creative God isn't done with the work that of God in this limited human life. And so, and that really helps me as a hospice nurse as well, to believe that even, you know, maybe the suffering you endure in the dying process is something that is building a character strength that has value, that every moment in life has value that God will use in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
So beautiful. I love that, because I really appreciate your perspective in terms of, and it does tie in with, you know, a little bit of the sermon from Pastor Jim this past Sunday, you know, how God kind of expects us to screw up in a way. You know, we're always learning. And I think for some individuals who, like myself, come from non-denominational churches, or just in general churches that kind of always make you feel like you need to repent as you leave the service. Like, I've done something wrong, apparently, or I'm not doing enough, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And God doesn't want us to feel that way all the time. You know, it's like we should be celebrated for trying, and God knows our hearts and our intentions, and, you know, and not many people, well, nobody else really knows that except for us and in our relationship with Jesus. But, you know, it's a matter of, as long as we can go to bed at night knowing that our intentions, you know, have been wanting to reflect a life that's more like Jesus, and we're trying, then that is good enough. That is a good and faithful servant. And so I appreciated you kind of inputting that and really shining a light on that in your testimony, because it's very important for people to know and to remember that God doesn't expect us to give our lives to him and then be perfect.
Right, you know, right, exactly.
Well, and we're more likely to learn when we feel loved and when we feel understood. Exactly. You know, it's like if we constantly feel judged and scrutinized and criticized, you know, most of us either retreat into a shell, you know, maybe become paralyzed with feeling bad about ourselves and, you know, being afraid to try again, or we lash out in anger at the person who we feel like is criticizing us. And I believe that God desires wholeness for us. And I believe that God desires for us to enjoy this life that God gave us. That when we're too focused, when we're so constantly focused on our imperfections, then we're less able to see maybe what God wants us to be doing.
Right.
So if you can believe that God accepts what you're able to do, that's your little loaves and fishes, and God didn't expect, you know, each loaf and each fish to be absolutely the best and absolutely perfect. It just needs to be nourishing, and it just needs to be shared. That's all. And then let God use it and see what God does with it.
Right, exactly. Totally. Yeah, and I really like appreciated so much what you said about how Jesus was here on this earth and he could totally relate to all of our human experiences. And so basically, like, our ability to cultivate that relationship with God is the fact that God can relate to us very intimately. And I think, like, speaking from my, like, spiritual life, that I am able to become more of, like, the best person that I can be by relating to God. And, like, that's what every, like, person following after Jesus would want, to become the best person that they can be, but also have a relationship with our Creator that is intimate and loving and just, like, really makes us feel so grateful to be alive. And so, yeah, it's like the total opposite of some sort of impression that we might have about God could be. That is, like, God just wants us to be like pressuring us and like, oh, we're like sinners and so on. I think he wants us to become just like blossom into the best person that we can be by cultivating that loving relationship with him. Like, love God with all of yourself, all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, just everything. And then love your neighbor. I mean, it just makes you feel like so grateful to be alive, and just, it makes me feel so happy as a believer. And so I'm really glad that you shared that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're harder on ourselves than God is on us.
Really. What?
Yeah. No. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
Beth is never hard on herself. And that's one thing I've been praying for her about, is like, open her eyes and just let her just be difficult, you know?
What a monster of a person I am. Yeah.
What did you say?
we're praying for me to be harder on myself.
No. You are a beloved child of God, seen by God, and
just
seen
like
by
everyone else. Just
God. Right.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we're kind of starting to teeter into this sermon, so. Cordelia, we'd love for you to join us for sermon feedback to continue kind of on this conversation. So if you've got time in your evening.
I do. Yes. I thought it was a masterpiece of a sermon.
Yeah. So this past Sunday, Pastor Jim started a whopping 2-week sermon series. I wanted to call it the Princess Bride, but we're referring.
As you wish.
Yes, yes. But the sermon series is Imperfectly You, and the focus was the gifts of imperfection. Pastor Jim kind of highlighted Brené Brown in her book, Imperfect. I think it's the gifts of imperfection. And so the focus was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And we've kind of been already really talking about it a little bit. So I'm what everybody's feedback was on that triumphalism and all things. You know, Tim, did you have any key takeaways that you wanted to share?
Yeah. So I do think that as we become closer with God, it does go in the opposite of direction of triumphalism. And so I think that's really fascinating to that Pastor Jim brought that up, like that people would feel like they're selected by God and therefore they should have like riches and power and so forth. But like Jesus, like having lived on earth and dying for us, like he had like the exact opposite of that. And so like strength in our weakness, that's like the ultimate like example of that. And I was also thinking about how like we really do find like a better relationship with God through our weakness. And I guess I could speak through personal experience. I think that I come to my greatest insights in life when I go through significant struggles And so then it's like that imperfection is absolutely the case. And if I was just on track with everything all the time, then I don't think I would reach those insights and like learning experiences that I would if I didn't experience those periods of weakness. And actually, this is interesting because it reminds me of this song that was written by a Christian artist called Abby Robertson Godsend. And she was saying in that song how maybe all the times that we struggle is actually a godsend. And I totally believe that. I think that God is with us in our weakness. God is with us in our strengths. And as long as we just continue to rest in God, then we can get through all of it. And then we can also learn and love and appreciate life evermore. And I also thought it was interesting how Pastor Jim introduced his sermon about how the what was the actor's name in The Princess Bride who wasn't Danny DeVito?
But Sean was the last name. Was it?
Oh,
Wallace.
Yeah. Wallace. Yeah. So what?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. So, maybe we can,
Wallace Shawn.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Wallace Shawn. Yeah. So, Wallace Shawn basically, was always thinking that he was like doing something that, Danny DeVito could have done better, or he felt like an imposter or something like that. But then it actually created something like a totally different sort of acting experience that added to the piece. And I think that that is kind of like our story potentially, at times. It's like, there could have been somebody else that might have been quote unquote better at doing whatever it is, like whether it's being working in a job or whether it's being a certain friend to someone or whatever. We might have this tendency to compare ourselves to someone else who could do it a little bit better. But in reality, I think that by not being ourselves, then we're just, it's not going to help the other person and it's not going to help us. And so we just be our imperfect selves. And then I think that's a beautiful thing. So if everybody is fully themselves, like as genuinely imperfect as we can be, then I think that life ends up being a better place for everyone. So,
yeah, that kind of goes with, you know, when Pastor Jim was saying shame loves secrecy, it makes us feel like we can't let anyone know our true selves. But when we begin to share who we are with us or with a few people, shame loses its grip on us. And right. Then it kind of led into the Brené Brown quote of, it's in the process of embracing our imperfections that we find our truest gifts, courage, compassion, and connection. These are the gifts of imperfection. So I think that's definitely awesome. Ties in with what you're saying, Tim, you know,
thank you.
By us being vulnerable and not letting, whether it's shame or anything else, kind of envelop us in some way, we're really able to be like everyone else and admit things and feel like we're not alone and moments of connection. And I also thought it was interesting how the word courage kind of has shifted.
Yeah, I love that because my name, Cordelia, I was always told that the C-O-R is Greek for heart.
Oh, wow. Because
the Latin is cardia and the Greek is cordia. And I had never heard that the origin of the word courage is C-O-R, core, to speak one's mind with one's whole heart. I was like,
oh, wow.
It made me feel like my mom and dad didn't even know what I was going to be like. And yet somehow they did. They gave me the perfect name.
Could you say that was God's will, Cordelia?
I probably would have been okay with other names, too. But that's pretty special.
I was also thinking, though, like, sometimes for some people, using your words and speaking up is like the day's definition of courage. Like, it can feel like you're stepping up to battle and, you know, having the hard conversations. And that's, I'm still trying to muddle my way through it. But
You know, I'm really glad that we're in this part of the sermon feedback, because I think this is kind of like a therapeutic thing for me, because I think I do feel shame about like various things in my life at various points. And I'm not even like fully consciously aware of it. And so now that we Pastor Jim covered it in the sermon and we're covering it here in the podcast episode, I'm thinking that I need to just like think about how I am and then think like, am I holding something back from other people because I feel some sort of shame? And then therefore I'm keeping like secrets about things or whatever. Like, wow, it's genuineness, like transparency. It's it takes courage to be able to share those things with people, share our imperfections.
Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe sometimes we don't even realize that we are, you know, that shame is causing so much secrecy for us.
Yeah.
You know, until maybe somebody mentions something, you're like, well, I guess I never really thought that I did that, you know, those. And so sometimes it's subconscious in some ways. And, but I think that's kind of where it's so important for people to be open and be courageous and share, you know, their stories and their vulnerabilities. So that way, you know, their imperfections, so maybe new light can be brought to others. And give them their courage to then open.
Yeah.
So
Actually, I think that when we're able to like have that vulnerability with someone else too, it it fosters a greater sense of intimacy in the relationship. And so like, not that that's like the end all be all for us being vulnerable, but we just want to be able to share that with someone else, and then it fosters that connection, right? Like if you're vulnerable then, and you have that courage, then it fosters that connection that you need.
The compassion, we're hitting all the words here.
Yeah.
You know, this is great.
Having compassion for each other. Yeah.
You know, I'm remembering something that a pastor said. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull it together perfectly, but maybe you can tell me if you think it helps. One of the pastors of one of my churches said, have you ever thought about how many times God has seen your imperfection and loved it anyway? How many times God has seen your sin or mistake and has already forgiven it? Have you ever thought about how many hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of people throughout creation have made the same mistakes that you have and got? There's nothing that you do that God hasn't seen before and loved before and forgiven before. You know, you're not the most terrible person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not saying it very well, but I'm wondering if it's resonating with anybody, that can help us lighten up on ourselves as well.
I totally agree. Yeah, basically, I always think back every now and again to the prodigal son parable that Jesus tells about. Yeah, it's like no matter what like chaos that we get into, God is always going to have his arms open for us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, I don't know if Job had felt that way too much, but, you know, Job's story was a little rough.
Right.
But
that's good to look at it on both sides, right?
Yeah, right. that's like great. Prodigal son, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like Job who's like, all right, yeah, I'm totally done with this. This is, yeah, we've gone however many chapters in the Bible with this like horrible experiences. So.
Yeah, actually,
vulnerability, Job.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Jessica, because there's all these people that were telling Job to like not trust God anymore in those moments of like significant problems that Job was experiencing.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's just kind of all over the way, like all the different ways. It's like we, nothing we can do is going to like separate us from God's love. And then nothing somebody else can do will separate us from God's love. And so, yeah, that's just a very uplifting thing for us, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. Beth, anything to expand on?
Yeah. So I was really resonating with Wallace Shawn and thinking this isn't how Danny DeVito would have done it, you know.
Yeah.
As the children's ministry director who like never intended to be a children's ministry. I'm constantly like looking, I'm like, I don't think this is how Cynthia would have done it. And now that we have you, Cordelia, and you've been in the children's ministry for 23 years. And I'm like, I'm not as seasoned as you either. And I'm not even like comparing myself, but it's just like, I just feel like I don't have the experience that you or Cynthia. And I guess the only way to get that is to continue to do it.
Exactly.
But
everybody starts somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've decided that if I question whether I'm doing a good job or not, I am going to ask, is this the way Danny DeVito would do it?
Yeah. You know what, Beth? One of the things that helped me the most when I started, because I also had not done it before, was mentors. In my congregation, there were three women who had done that job before me. Mm-hmm. And that could have been really difficult because I could have felt like, oh, are they constantly judging what I'm doing? But what I instead felt was that they loved me and they were so glad that I was doing the job and they were praying for me and they were there to do dirty work if I needed it, you know, clean up kind of stuff. And they had good information and they all said, you know, I did the job Karen's way, or I did the job, you know, everybody else's way, Vicky's way. You have to do it Beth's way, but I hope you feel loved by this congregation.
I definitely do. And
That's awesome.
And every time like the ministry, the congregation bands together to like help me with VBS or, you know, Messy Church, any of that, like I'm always like just always overwhelmed with the gratitude of everybody who steps up and helps me. And I hope that you guys can feel that too, because I never want anybody to think that they're not appreciated.
Well, that's really nice.
Know that. Praise God.
Yeah. And Beth, whenever I like see you and think of you being the children's ministry director, I don't think that there's anybody else that could do it as well as you do. You just have this like bubbly, like just like kind of harmonious way that you go about all the different like children's ministry things. Like,
you know how I told you that I've been collecting stories and good ideas from so many churches because we've been moved around 11 times. So here's another one that I hope will help you. It helped me. And that is that the biblical definition of perfect is not without flaw. The biblical definition of perfect is accomplishing God's purpose.
I love that.
If you are accomplishing God's purpose, you are perfect. And to put it again in children's kind of eyes, you think about if your child sets the table for the first time and all the forks and the knives, they're in the wrong place and they forgot the napkins or whatever. And you walk in, you go, oh, Good job. That was perfect. Thank you. I love that you did that. That's an example. You know, that's you're perfect when you're accomplishing God's purpose. Wow. And when you are treating children with love, you are accomplishing God's purpose.
Beth is perfect.
Yeah, Beth is perfect as the children's ministry director.
Cordelia just performed a mic drop over here.
Yeah.
A mic drop. isn't there like a funny thing?
You like my Jesus doll? See, when I need a hug, I hug my Jesus doll.
I need to get squishy, a Jesus
very
doll.
Huggable. That's amazing.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah, now you have Cordelia, you have the Jesus doll, and then Beth has tiny Jesus and flat Jesus.
by the way, it has been me responsible for the tiny Jesuses, and I've enlisted many people to help me place them around the church. So,
has anybody noticed them and been like, wait?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
There was one in the PUMC 101 class. I was like, tiny moments of joy.
Jacob found Jesus a couple weeks ago.
There was one on the prayer rail this Sunday.
Found Jesus last night. They're finding Jesus left and right, so it's good.
So many new believers finding Jesus. It's great.
That's what it's all about. Beth, maybe you could bring... flat Jesus is back as well.
Oh yeah,
you can find flat Jesus.
I'm gonna bring him back in the summer. Yeah.
Oh okay. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to circle back really quick. I felt like the way that I expressed nothing can separate the love, God's love from us. I don't think I expressed it as well as Paul does in Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 in starting in verse 38 to 39, he says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So I just thought
I needed that today, Tim. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
From Sunday, it hit me in a very different way than I think Pastor Jim actually tied it in. But as a hospice nurse, as a matter of fact, I sent it to a family member who I know is a Christian. Listen to this, thinking about being with your family member when your family member is in pain and has had this long process of decline that they know is going to lead to death. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed.
Wow.
Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you.
Wow.
Amen.
That's awesome. And the other thing, the other reason I thought, well, besides that just being so wonderful, that reminds me of one of my favorite verses that Jesus mentions. And he says, those who try to find their lives will lose it, but those who lose their lives for my sake will find it. I think that's beautiful that basically we we have like what Jesus did for us, like Jesus' death lives within us, but then also Jesus' life is within us. God's spirit is within us, or God's spirit dwells within us. And that I think if we remember that each and every day, then we just feel like we feel so connected to God and to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true, Tim.
True.
It is true.
There was another thing. I don't know if we touched on it completely, but it's so important for us to remember that we are enough. Like mm-hmm. we always have that feeling that we might not be enough in so many circumstances. And I'm really glad that Pastor Jim brought that up, how we are enough in our imperfection. And it's okay to feel the way that we feel, and we can still like do all the things in our life despite having that feeling. And so mm-hmm. if we have those gifts or imperfection, we bring those to others and ourselves, then that can help us.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned the last book, that 7.5 lessons.
Yeah. 7.5 lessons about
the brain.
By Lisa Feldman Barrett.
Yeah. I thought that was incredible. The thought that, you know, every interaction that we have is creating synaptic connections within our brain.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and that when we connect with people, that we're creating positive connections that can get stronger over time and that can build up our mental health yeah. and our sense of strength. Did any of that touch anybody else?
Yeah, I like that. So it also kind of goes into how it reduces the metabolic cost and unpleasantness of learning something new. I think that's kind of where you were tying into. I love when there is science and research to back that everybody should learn something new. It's like, it's a good thing yeah. to learn about more people and different things. Like, I promise you'll be happier, you know, all these things. And so I like seeing that research and things to kind of back that, because I found in my, you know, 37 years of life that I've only lived, you know, how much greater I feel my life is because I've gained new perspectives from where I've traveled and people I've befriended, and how different my life would be had I stayed in one place, not moved, had my own community for 37 years and not ventured out. I would be two different people.
Right. Right.
And I don't even want to know where my brain would be at that point, because apparently it might have shrunk if I would have just stayed in the same place.
The other part of it is that when we think negative thoughts repeatedly, mm-hmm. we're also creating stronger connections between those two things.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, so absolutely.
One of the things I say to myself sometimes is, Satan, get behind me. Mm. You know, like yeah. when I find myself becoming very negative and very self-critical, and honestly, for me, sometimes it's hard to be by myself without any input, that I start to go negative. You know, I start to rehearse in my mind things that somebody has said that have hurt me, or things that I didn't do as well as I wished I was, things that I was ashamed or embarrassed about. And then I go pull out my phone and find some kind of a distraction, you know, so mm-hmm. I can stop thinking about that.
Wow.
But I have learned to say, Satan, get behind me, because I don't want those thoughts to get stronger and bigger connections in my brain, so that my brain goes there faster, deeper, mm-hmm. more rapidly.
Wow.
So that's when I have chosen instead to listen to podcasts that are, you know, uplifting, or that mm-hmm. That help me focus on on better things, on God's love.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we do. We have to protect our brains sometimes and say, what am I rehearsing? Am I rehearsing that God loves me and that God's has a good plan for me? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. You know, all those things. When I remember Beth saying something the other day that I thought was so important. She said, I talk to myself sometimes in ways I would never talk to somebody else. Yeah. And I think you could also say, if Jesus wouldn't talk to you that way, don't talk to yourself that way.
Right,
Jesus would never say those negative, hurtful things to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's so easy to overanalyze yourself and situations and circumstances and generating these stories, you know, and, and yeah, that's where it's, you know, having these stories that you create in your mind, that's going to definitely impact you. And remember the wise words of Cordelia: get behind me, Satan.
Well, when my kids first went to college, there was a motivational speaker, and he wasn't coming from a Christian perspective. I hope you know that Brené Brown is a Christian. She's an Episcopalian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This person said something really interesting. And I think that we as Christians would interpret it a little differently. But this person said, you are the screenwriter of your own life. And therefore, you get to decide who should get a major role and who should get a little more of a minor role.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe think about, is there even somebody that you should write out of the script?
Wow.
I've thought about that a lot. I do believe that God is our creator, our designer, the one who is also has those wide lanes of God's will for our life, carrying us to a good place. But it's really something to think about, that we do have some agency to decide who should be able to play the major parts in the story of our life.
Yeah.
Jesus should obviously have a big part, but maybe there are some people who should be given a smaller part next season.
Yeah.
I love that perspective. That
yeah, me too.
Every birthday is a new season. So like, who's going to be in the premiere like of this season, episode one? Like
last year on Beth.
Yeah. I was thinking of it like, okay, so you have this show going on that you have all these actors and stuff like that. Is there a director for this show, or is it the director on vacation?
Yes. Are you the director?
Are you the director, or did somebody else become the director without you knowing it or something like that?
Yeah. Beth, were you going to say something?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, no.
It might come back to you, Beth. If it does, then let us know. There's something else that I wanted to mention that what we talked about was so important about how you foster greater connections depending on what you dwell upon. And I think for me, I doubt myself a lot about everything, like doubting whether I'll enjoy this, doubting whether I can do this like a good enough job on this, or doubting whether this is a good time for me to learn this or whatever, like all the different ways that like doubt can manifest in a person's life. I think that is me, like as far as just like doing anything, thinking anything or whatever. So I must have this extremely strong connection to my brain. And I think it's useful in a sense that I'm like super careful about stuff, but I think I need to like be confident instead. And I think I have been cultivating that more and more over the last like few weeks or months, but knowing that by being more confident today and then the next day and so on, and in each moment, like gives me strength, like knowing that it's going to foster like greater connections in my brain. It's kind of a nice feeling. Like we're able to build upon that, just continually build on becoming a better human being. And then especially if we reach out to God in those moments.
Yeah. Well, I love the feedback that we've been able to kind of discuss in this past Sunday's sermon. And I think we all definitely took some key takeaways from things that God is teaching us in our own lives and things that we can share with others as the weeks come. So at this time, let's go ahead and swim on over to prayer requests.
Yes, swimming. It sounds like scuba VBS all over again.
Basically, put on your swimsuits and tell us your prayers. But Cordelia, is there anything in particular that we could pray for you about this next week, or is there anything that you would like to pray for this next week?
Well, I, as I mentioned before, I just keep thinking about the children in Los Angeles, the children whose families have experienced fire, the children who have parents who just don't have the kind of ability to be as patient and as giving as they were before the fires.
Oh, wow.
That they will be surrounded by people who can help community parent those children and who can love on those parents, give them a break. I think that coming through traumatic experiences without being traumatized is very difficult, but it is made easier the more love there is in the system. Mm-hmm. So that's my prayer, is that the parents and the children will have people coming alongside them, validating how hard this is and affirming that they're not alone, that there are people walking with them, and that they will come through this, and that there are strengths that will be given to them as a result of having gone through this.
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice.
Thank you for that prayer request, Cordelia. That's good. Beth, do you have any?
On the subject of what Cordelia was talking about, I think I mentioned in one of the previous podcast that in one of the podcasts that I listened to, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, his assistant lost her house. She lived in Altadena and lost her house, and she has 3-year-old twin boys. And so on the subject of what Cordelia was talking about, the kids, they put out a podcast. I've just been like, how are they doing? And they put out a podcast talking about the fires and stuff. And Sona was talking about how she didn't tell her kids that their house burned down, like, because they wouldn't be able to understand it anyway. Mm-hmm. And she just told them they're building a new house. But she also said that they are living their best lives right now. They're with her parents and they're getting all the toys that they could possibly want. And so all the adults are like, oh, everything sucks. But the kids are like, why is everyone sad? This is awesome. Look at all these toys. Anyway, so, and just
because
the way
kids pick up on our stress.
Oh yeah, they do for sure.
Right.
And, like, just the way she talked about Altadena and the community and everything that they've lost, like, it made me cry. I was listening to the podcast that I usually listen to make myself feel better, and it was making me cry. So continued prayers for the fires, and also prayers for those who might need it, social, political, climate reasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to get into politics, and I certainly won't, but, this country could use some prayers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I echo that, Beth. I echo that for sure. That's been something that Amber and I have had in the back of our minds, and we are really trying to build a community around us right now that's supportive and loving, and also just trying to find ways legally to feel supported, especially with us bringing a new child into this world. Yeah. So, prayers for the next 4 years. Yeah. And, I am finding peace knowing that Jesus has always taken care of us.
Yeah.
And that's where we rest every day. And, and we are so grateful for the community that we do have. So that is my prayer request, is just prayers for people that are uncertain about what tomorrow could bring. Prayers for those that are, still trying to figure out what to do next with what has happened with the fires. I'm hoping that their experience with insurance isn't as strenuous, and all the little things that they have to deal with at this point, their mortgages and all those things. So just praying that God has puts his arm around every single one of those individuals. So that's my prayer requests.
Thank you all for your prayers on all those things. For me, I can say the same. Yeah, about our social political climate. I know everybody has their own perspective on it, but just prayers for anyone that needs one about how that's going to go. And yeah, I think I totally agree, Jessica, that we can trust in Jesus always, and everything will work out in the end, I think. A prayer for anybody that's like going through severe trials associated with the fires. Like, I know that some people have lost their houses, and some people have been like dislocated because of evacuation orders and things like that. So just a prayer for anyone that is going through any of that, and also is having any sort of problems associated with maybe health problems or anything like that, or sickness because of the fire. So prayers regarding all those individuals. I think maybe my friend Rye could still use a prayer. He's in a care facility now. He's not in the hospital anymore, so that's like really good news. But I think he's still in recovery. So a prayer for that would be much appreciated. And then I could also use a prayer for myself to kind of like the last piece of our sermon feedback, for me to kind of live my life more confidently and to not doubt myself so much about everything.
Thanks for sharing, Tim.
Thank you.
Well, I feel like this was a pretty awesome, full packed, knowledgeable. What are some other words we can come up with?
Informative, inspiring,
courageous, compassionate episode.
Loving.
Do you want to be Jessica when Jessica's on maternity? you could be Jessica's stand-in.
Right.
When Tim and I get too awkward, Cordelia can bail us out.
I create awkwardness all the time.
We are excited about next week's sermon with Pastor Jim as he closes out the sermon series, and more to come with
Thank you so much, Cordelia, for coming on to our podcast.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
It's been a blessing. Yeah.
It's been awesome, Cordelia.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be a regular listener now.
Oh, yay. Wonderful. Maybe you could be a guest again. That would be so nice.
1,001,001 listeners.
That's right. Well, until next time.
Stay Maddie Methodist.
We all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist.